You are listening to an official podcast from Kings of Europe, your football link to the European Super Leagues.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Kings of Europe. It is Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon. It's sometime somewhere, wherever you are. And we're going to live up to our namesake tonight because we are talking about the Kings of Europe. What this show was designed to do was to talk about the UEFA Champions League, the Europa League to a lesser extent, and the top clubs in European football. And we have all of that tonight. We're going to break down all 8 group stages of the UEFA Champions League as the draw has been completed. We know who is playing who. We know who the 32 clubs are and where they are sectioned off into. What is the group of death and who got an easy draw? Who got the easiest path to the round of 16? By the end of this show, we are going to talk about who are going to be the 16 clubs standing at the end of December when the sixth and final match day of the group stage is played, who will be playing come February when the round of 16 picks up, and what 8 teams are going to drop out, and what 8 teams will be going to the round of 32 in the Europa League. We have all of that extensive coverage for you tonight. But before we get talking about that, I'd like to give a shout out again to our partners, thegoalmouthscramble.net. That's at GB Articles on Twitter. But George Bennett, a good friend of ours, his website, of course, covering everything Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, Serie A, they cover it all at thegoalmouthscramble.net. And last week I was talking about a featured article he did on Sadio Mane. I would really like for you guys to check that out. It's a fantastic article, and I can attribute to that because he basically spans or explains how Sadio Mane came to be the player that he is today, spanning the globe. You know, starting off from the smallest of small in his home country, to making the path, as I said last week on the show, to the Red Bull academies, and eventually from there to Southampton, and then from Southampton to Liverpool, which seems to be the path if you're Jordan Henderson or Virgil van Dijk or Sadio Mane. It seems like Southampton is in fact the last stop on the train to Liverpool. But George Bennett does a great job with that. They have some amazing articles this week as well, some pieces on Arsenal. So if you're a Gunners fan, you should definitely check that out. Always covering everything from top to bottom Premier League, those guys are. So again, thegoalmouthscramble.net. Please check them out. Give them a follow on Twitter. At GB Articles is the Twitter handle name. And we hope to have George on the show again soon. I know that he's a busy man, and we're on a little bit of a different time zone, us being in the States and him being in the UK. But we're going to have him on at some point, of course, to talk about the stuff that's going on with Manchester United. Of course, he is a Manchester United expert. Longtime supporter of the club, not a supporter of Jose Mourinho. He had some interesting words in a discussion I had with him last week to talk about Jose, so I'd love to get him on the show to talk about that, and we will do that. In addition to that, talking about what Manchester United's chances are as it pertains to the Premier League, and of course, asking his opinion on what he thinks about Manchester United's chances are in the Champions League, what he makes of their draw, and where he sees the club going from here, because with Mourinho right now, they're not going down a good path. And you can tell yourself as a United fan, I don't want to say that you're not intelligent if you don't think this, but if you think that things are going in the right direction, you're kidding yourself. They're not. The club is in disarray. It's a complete disaster. Every pundit that I've heard this week is unanimous in that. They all agree that it is the club right now is in complete shambles. The atmosphere is toxic, and Mourinho is the 100% only person to blame for that. So if you're a United fan and you have a working brain, you should be pretty pissed off with Jose Mourinho right now. I know George is, and you know, I'm not. I think the club's going in a great direction, being on the opposite side of the fence from that. But you know, in the sport, in the fairness of competition, it is quite a shame what's going on with them. If you're looking at it from a sporting perspective, where they once were and where they are today, you know, with obviously Sir Alex Ferguson being the where they once were portion of this. Then, of course, Moyes and Van Gaal and now Mourinho. And Mourinho seems to be in that third-year rut. He never got to year three with Inter. He was at Inter for two seasons, won the treble, and then quickly left for Real Madrid. I wonder what life would have been like at Inter in his third season. Yeah, we'll never know. But we do know what life is like in his second stint in Chelsea. We know what life is like now at United, and he has obviously left Chelsea in a lesser position when he left than they were when he got there, and he is apparently doing the same with Manchester United. Now, United were by no means in a great situation when he got there. They were, you know, I'd say barely a top six side in the Premier League. And the reason I'm going so hard on United is because they're such a fascinating club right now. 3 points after three match days in the Premier League, already 6 points behind the leaders, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, defeated them last week 3-0 on the road at Old Trafford. That was the worst home defeat in Jose Mourinho's tenure at Manchester United. So that's why we're you know, the opening here is going to be heavily focused on them, because they are... They're in complete disarray right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how things play out with them as the season progresses. Do we think Jose Mourinho will keep his job? Is he even going to make it to Christmas? Is he going to make it to Boxing Day? That's a good question. My thoughts are, if he does not advance past the group stage of the Champions League, if he has this mindset like he did at the end of, well, I guess in the round of 16 when they went out last season, this holier-than-thou attitude of, yeah, I've beaten United when I was managing against them. They always lose in the Champions League. No, they don't. They've won many Champions Leagues. This is, you know, going back 10 years, they won a Champions League. This isn't a club that is used to failure on the grandest stage in Europe or grandest stage in the world. No, at one time, this was the most successful club in the world. Sorry, Real Madrid. Manchester United was the most successful club in the world. Gary Neville, David Beckham, Giggs, Ferdinand, those guys. You know, you guys remember them, right? Wayne Rooney. So, they find themselves today probably... As I said, well, today they are not in the top six at all. They're basically, I guess, down, you know, they're not relegation candidates, but they're mid-table right now as it stands, if you have to go based on recent form. But when Mourinho took them over, they were a barely top six side. They were, you know, hanging on to that by a thread, arguably behind the likes of Arsenal and Spurs, and at the time he took over, behind Leicester City. So... You know, where they find themselves today, are they any better off than they were 2 years ago, two seasons ago? No. The answer is a flat no. So far, no. So the question is, can United rebound? Talent-wise, what they have on their roster, absolutely. They're a phenomenally talented team. Deep, great players, world champions. Paul Pogba is on that squad. No doubt in my mind they can recover. But will they recover? Do they want to play for Jose Mourinho? Or is there a certain Frenchman who also won a world championship in 1998 who's won three consecutive Champions Leagues by the name of Zinedine Zidane, Zizou? Is he waiting in the wings for the sacking of Jose Mourinho to take over at Manchester United? If they get him as their manager, that's a scary thought for Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester City, very scary, because I believe, based on his merits and what he did at Real Madrid, he's the kind of risk taker and the kind of man who players do want to play for, I believe, and they'll follow him into battle, and they will, how should I say, they will they'll put forth the effort and make sacrifices in order to gain his trust and to make sure that Manchester United lives to see a bigger, brighter, better day. Whereas right now, I don't think that's the case with Jose Mourinho. I think the players just want him to go. So we'll talk more extensively about them in the coming weeks, because and I want to let the situation play out a little bit, because we're not where we are going to be with United right now. This is just the beginning. This is just the tip of the iceberg, if you will. So we'll let things play out a little bit with Jose and see if the bus can become can get out of neutral and see if he can move forward, because right now it's parked. And it's not going anywhere. I think the engine's actually dying on the bus. And we'll see if Josie can get it cranked up again. My guests tonight are two guys who I was on their podcast the day after the World Cup, that Monday. I think that was July 16th. They are the Lads. They're Loud Americans Discussing Soccer. Lads Podcast, @Lads_podcast on Twitter. They're going to be joining me in just a few moments. And we will be discussing everything UEFA Champions League. Everyone, welcome back, and I am joined at this time by my guest this evening, doing the return favor, I guess you would say in wrestling, there it's 50-50 booking, if you will. I was on their show, they're on mine, and so I have the Lads, Kevin and Martin, from the Loud Americans Discussing Soccer podcast. That's @Lads_podcast on Twitter. Guys, how are we doing tonight?
Great. Yo. Except we hate our teams.
Yeah, especially Arsenal, since they're not even in this Champions League. But anyway, sup. Yo, thanks for having us.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I was going to ask you what group Arsenal was in, but looks I guess
they're watching. They're in group
with
Chelsea.
Well, they actually could tomorrow end up in group L when the UEFA Europa League is drawn. Now we all know that.
I mean, like, and then next thing you know, we have, you know, Atletico to go up against. Or, you know, like, that's just typical, you know, saying typical in Arsenal is, you know, PB&J. So, but yeah, thank you again for having us on yours, and thanks for coming on ours.
Absolutely. Anytime. And I'm sure that I'm sure we'll be frequenting each other's shows many times over the next few years, and especially this season. But this is the Kings of Europe. So today was the UEFA Champions League draw, and that's exactly what this show was built on. We're talking about the best of the best that the continent has to offer in football, and we finally, after weeks and weeks of qualifying, after weeks of speculation of who's in what pod and who's going where, we have ourselves 8 groups drawn. Basically, we can start to break this bad boy down, and we're going to start, guys. We're going to dig right into this, and we're going to start with Group A. And so Group A is interesting because There's some international flavor in here with Atletico Madrid. You have Borussia Dortmund. You have the French multiple-time French champions AS Monaco, and you have Club Brugge from Belgium. So some interesting stuff in here as far as styles and how these teams set up. Atletico Madrid, obviously one of the best defensive sides on the continent. Also, though, deadly in the attack when they want to be. Antoine Griezmann, Diego Costa. They are a club that I don't think you want to go up against. They are the reigning and defending, well, they won't be defending it because, well, unless they finish third, but they are the reigning Europa League champions. They just won the Supercopa against Real Madrid 4-2. They are, I guess you could say, the kings of Europe in that aspect. This is a team, guys, if you're Dortmund and Monaco, and especially the guys from Belgium, you don't really want to fuck with this club.
Yeah, I think the first thing I want to say is Atletico isn't really the king of Europe. That title belongs to Real Madrid. They won the Europa League.
The Real Madrid.
Oh, okay. Nicely done. Sorry. But you know what? I think it's like a pretty easy bet to put Atletico through just because of their defensive quality and the grit that they show on the pitch every single game, and that all stems down from their manager, Diego Simeone. So
the
man in black. Johnny Cash, I see him. Yeah. I see Atletico just easily getting first in this group.
Do you think steamrolling? Do you think
it's a good steamroll, the question is, who comes second?
I have to say Dortmund. I might be biased. I just want Christian Pulisic to succeed, and he did so well in the Champions League last year. Don't count out Monaco. Club Brugge, the only thing I know about Brugge is that movie of Colin Farrell in Brugge, which is a great dark comedy if anyone's ever seen it. But, Atletico, I even have them maybe winning La Liga this year. I'm all on the Atletico train. And Diego Costa, we've talked about this numerous times. That dude is pure grit. That guy he's a center back, like a center half's like worst nightmare. So, Critty, where do you have this?
It's hard for me to say. I was thinking about this, that Monaco doesn't have this little treasure chest of toys to throw at Dortmund like they did 2 years ago in the quarterfinals. They had when they had this this one dude named Kylian Mbappe. A lot he amounted out to be.
kind of a bust.
Yeah.
It's like Markel Fultz.
Exactly. Thomas Lamar, Fabinho. Bakayoko. They had all these players.
Mbele.
Exactly, but then I think about this, and they've got Pellegrini, Mbolu, Golovin, Falcao, Tielemans. They're still a really good side. Now, they're not going to challenge PSG in Ligue 1. That's pretty much impossible at this point after PSG basically spent every last dime of the Sheik's money last year to acquire Neymar and some other goodies along the way, such as Julian Draxler. But Monaco's still a very good side. It's going to come down to me, I think, the very first match, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think Monaco plays Dortmund. I'd have to look that up, but I read that today. If the match is in Dortmund, Dortmund have got to protect their home turf. They are they're traditionally one of the strongest teams in the Bundesliga and in Europe at home. In fact, Real Madrid did not win a single game in 8 tries at the Westfalenstadion until last season. They were 0-4 in Dortmund. In their entire history, Real Madrid over against Dortmund. So it's not an easy place to play. But that being said, 2 years ago, Monaco did end a very lengthy win streak for Thomas Tuchel's Dortmund when they beat them. But with that being said, that was also the day after a bus bombing almost basically killed the entire Dortmund team. So psychologically, we're not going to be in the same state. And this is the group stage. It's not a two-leg fixture where, aggregate counts so much. This is really interesting, guys. After Dortmund's season last year in the Champions League, 2 points out of a possible 18, 2 draws against Apollon Nicosia, and they lost twice to Spurs and twice to Real Madrid. They have a lot to make up for. So based on the fact that they were shameful in the Champions League last season, I'm going to put Dortmund ahead of Monaco by a hair, and that's based on simply the fact that I think that this Dortmund team, with Marco Reus healthy, with the addition now of Alcacer, and of course Axel Witsel, who looks fantastic, Pulisic, it just does what Pulisic does. Maxi Philip, it can go back to his natural position on the wing now that they have a number nine. Dortmund's a good team. So that's how I have that's how I see it. I see my 1-2-3 is Atletico, Dortmund, and Monaco. What about you guys?
I think the only thing I would change about that is I would put Monaco ahead by a hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, playing Dortmund at home is a challenge in itself. I mean, you have the wall, the Dortmund wall,
mm-hmm.
and that it can intimidate any team in itself. But I genuinely think it's going to come down to defense because both of these teams are high scoring. You've got Dortmund with the attack with Witzel. You've got Marco Reus. You've got Mario Götze if he can play. You've got Pulisic. You've got Paco Alcacer. And
is
then
that how you say his name?
Paco.
Alcacer. It's Alcacer, actually.
Alcacer.
Yeah, Alcacer. Yeah.
But you have both teams who are super attack-minded, and I am genuinely going to break it down to one position and one position only. The goalkeeper. You have Subasic, who is coming off of an amazing, just godly World Cup run with Croatia. And then you go to Dortmund, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Berkey?
Is Berkel still starting?
Berkey?
Yeah, Roman Berkey. Yeah, but he said
so I would
Berkel. I like that. I like that a lot better than Berkey. I like Berkel. That's good.
I like Berkel, too. That's what FIFA says. So that's what I'm going to believe.
Berkel.
I will say, I'm probably going to agree with you, Critty. I have Atletico 1 and then Dortmund 2. And I got to say, like, Dortmund is just electric. I've said this about Dortmund Stadium before. It's like Queen on World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
It is just
that's
like
my favorite.
Dude, it is literally electric. And I love it so much. So, yeah, I agree with you.
All right. Well, so we got, so we'll just go based, since there's three of us, we can have a definitive tiebreaker. So between the three of us, the majority wins. We have Atletico.
That's true.
Atletico 1, Dortmund 2, Monaco drops down to the Europa League, and Club Brugge goes home, right?
In Brugge, yes.
All right. Critty, I want to make a bet with you here. I made this bet like 5 times, and I've yet to lose. If Monaco goes through above Borussia Dortmund, will you shotgun a Four Loko?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, all right. Cool. Shakes. All right. Well, let's move on to Group B then, shall we?
Beautiful.
Yeah, Group B is quite the doozy. There's a lot of big names as far as tradition goes. There's some championships, Champions League winners multiple times. Internazionale, they're in this. Barcelona, Tottenham Hotspur, and PSV Eindhoven. This is an interesting group. Eindhoven had to play themselves in. Spurs, obviously, number 3 in the Premier League last year. Inter finished 4th in Serie A on the last day of the season. And Barcelona is Barcelona. So, guys, this is an interesting group because Inter's making their first appearance in 7 years in the Champions League. Eindhoven's been out for a couple of years. Spurs, they have been in, but they really didn't take the competition seriously until last year. They really, really... they won the group, actually. They beat Dortmund and Real Madrid to win the group last season.
Put that on the trophy cabinet. Put that in the trophy cabinet.
Exactly. Put that in the trophy cabinet. They have not won the Premier League since the 60s, or I believe that's right, sometime in the
60s. 64, yeah.
Yeah, 64. But they...
Evan knows that by heart.
Yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan, sorry.
yeah, but you would know then. Keep your enemies close, right? And Barcelona, of course, won the tournament, the Champions League back in 2015. Almost went invincible in La Liga last season. Did not lose until the final match day. So, guys, Inter's off to a rough start, but we got to understand they have not had their full squad yet at Spalletti's disposal. I think you'll see a different Inter after the international break, and I think they'll have enough this season, this weekend, with the debut of Raja Nainggolan as the midfield enforcer against Bologna. I think they'll beat Bologna. I think they'll go into the international break with some momentum, and I think that could carry them into the the rest of September and into the Champions League. They are just such an interesting group because Inter has Icardi, they have Perisic, they have Brozovic, they have a keeper in Handanovic who's good, who made a really stupid error last week against Belotti, but he's a fantastic keeper on his day. Obviously, De Vrij, they've got Miranda, they've got Skriniar. This is a good team, but they just seem to not have their heads in the game. So I don't know quite how to place them. Obviously, I have Barcelona winning this group hand over fist. This is not even debatable. To me, it comes down to, is Inter truly better than Eindhoven over two legs? And is Inter able to compete with Spurs? That's what it really comes down to.
I think what you're talking about is the mental game.
Yeah.
When you talk about the mental game, I think it's both Inter and Spurs get inside their own heads because they know they both have the quality. And I think it's going to come down because I think they both have – I mean, we were talking about Nainggolan. I mean, the guy's just a bruiser. The guy's a goon in the midfield. I love Nainggolan. That's great to see him over at Inter. When I pick this group, I, just like you, have Barcelona first. And it kills me to say, but I do have Tottenham second as an Arsenal fan. But I definitely think it's going to be, like you said, with Dortmund and Monaco, it's going to be by the skin of their teeth. And – I mean, me and Martin both just gave each other a look. Like, Inter has not been in the Champions League for almost a decade. We both, like, didn't even realize that. That's insanity.
That's correct.
I think Tottenham pulls through. I think, like Harry Kane has said, they've grown up, these players. And I think it's also about momentum. Can Inter get the momentum? Tottenham's got the momentum right now in the Premier League. So, especially coming off that, I'm sorry to say this, Martin, the win at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Spurs look nice. And Harry Kane is scoring in August. So, I would be worried. So, I have Barcelona 1, Tottenham 2, Inter dropping down into the Europa League.
Well, before we go any further, let me ask you guys this. I believe that the matchup could be who finishes second could come down to who has the better performance against each other over two legs between Mauro Icardi and Harry Kane. What do you think?
I think it's going to be more of a team thing because at the end of the day, I think this is going to be a math equation. Both are going to lose to Barcelona. Both are going to beat PSV Eindhoven. And it's going to come down to the head-to-head. Can Tottenham beat Inter Milan? Can Inter Milan beat Tottenham? So I genuinely think it's going to come down head to head. And in this day and age, I think that Inter Milan's attack is more dangerous, like you said, with Perisic and Icardi, and then I think Kendreva is still playing there as well.
He's been kind of put to the side though for Politano. Yes, exactly. Yes.
And I think Inter Milan has more of that kind of true Liverpool-esque attacking style compared to Tottenham. So I think I sound like a broken record here. I think it's going to come down to defense, and I think that Tottenham has a better defense. If Tottenham can win the mental game. If they do not bottle it like they always do,
that's going to take a lot for them.
It is going to take a lot for them. But if they can keep their mental game strong, I think they can beat Inter Milan, and I think they can advance. Whoever loses that head-to-head game is going to go down to the Europa League. PSV, I mean, obviously going fourth place.
Barcelona, I mean, like, don't count them out. I think PSV is like...
Oh, yeah, with Chucky Lozano, that man's a beast.
I agree. I mean, don't count him out.
I think we both have Tottenham second, right, Martin?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so.
Is it Premier League bias? Maybe, but
it's definitely Premier League bias.
So you guys are going to win this one because of the majority number rules. So there's not really much, but I'm gonna go. I think Spalletti will have Inter played into form by the time they get into the Champions League, and especially when they get to the latter stages. So what I mean by that is games 4 through 6. And I think that they will, by maybe even if it's just goal differential, they will. And let me say this. You know, if Barcelona come into the San Siro, Inter plays up to their competition. They might give Barcelona more of a game or more of a surprise than you may think. They play down to teams like Sassuolo and Torino, but they play up. I mean, it was 2 years ago with Frank de Boer as the manager. They were left for dead going into match day 3. They had 1 point in 2 games, and then lo and behold, they beat Juventus just like that, like it's nothing.
And people forget that Frank de Boer won a Champions League with Chelsea. Also, I want to say this one thing that I kind of just realized. Tottenham is still not playing at their true home stadium. They're playing at Wembley. They have a horrid record at Wembley in terms of the Champions League. So if that plays into any aspect of their mental game, I could see Inter going through, but I got to agree with both you and Kev here. It's going to be neck and neck here. Yeah. Whoever wins that head-to-head, whoever can beat each other at the San Siro or at Wembley Stadium is going to win the game, or win the coming second. So I guess winning the group, if Barcelona is confirmed.
Also, if Son is not serving military service, I mean, that's a factor. That's a great person off the bench, because I don't know if they'll start Lucas or Son if he doesn't have to go into indentured servitude and good Korea.
That's so weird.
I know.
That is. I think I saw you guys tweet about that last week, and I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about?
He's literally getting drafted into the military if he doesn't win the final. Like, can you imagine if Clint Dempsey didn't win the World Cup or the Copa America or the Gold Cup? And then he had to go and join the Marines. Can you just imagine that lifestyle?
Clint would be sick. He's already got that shaved head. He's like a jarhead.
True.
Clint would be a great jarhead.
Jake Gyllenhaal, a.k.a. Clint.
Yeah. Have emotional, like, problems for life. All right.
he kind of looks like the guy on the cover of the movie Jarhead.
Yeah, exactly. Look Jake at Gyllenhaal, it. Dude, he looks great. We go to Group C.
Hey, so let me recap that real quick then. So between the three of us, we have Barcelona first, Spurs second, Inter going down to the Europa League, where they will probably get eliminated immediately because they don't take that competition seriously. They have not since the 90s. And we have, I think, PSV Eindhoven. And I think it's a close fourth, guys. I don't think PSV Eindhoven gets blown away. I think they finished fourth, but I think it's a respectable fourth.
Do you agree with that, yeah.
Do you think, and Kriti, this is kind of a more subjective question here, do you think that teams should take the Europa League seriously? I know United won it 2 years ago, Atletico won it this past year.
Sevilla loves it.
Should this be a competition that's taken seriously, or should this be more looked at as a Super Copa?
FA Cup as recent
FA
years.
Cup. In no. the recent years, because I don't think it should be taken seriously at all.
I do think it should be taken seriously for the fact of back in the day when the Champions League was far less than 32 teams, the UEFA Cup, as it was called back then, had an enormous amount of prestige. You had teams like Real Madrid winning it. You had teams like Bayern Munich winning it. Inter Milan won it numerous times.
FA Cup, like back in the day, FA Cup had so much prestige. Now it's kind of lost that flavor. So it feels like almost to me that it's almost like a NIT tournament in terms of college basketball, where, cool, my team, who is a D3 basketball team, is in the NIT tournament. If we win this, nobody's going to recognize it as a real deal competition.
Well, here's the thing. If you're someone like RB Salzburg, for example, and you find yourself in the semifinals last year, or if you're Olympique Marseille, for example, and you win, you beat Atletico Madrid in the final, it's another spot, it's another chance to get into the Champions League, directly into the group stage of the Champions League. So for that matter alone, I think you should take it seriously. Plus, and I know a lot of people don't, you know, I said this at the top of the show, Atletico Madrid beat Real Madrid 4-2 in the Supercopa of Europe. That's the UEFA League, the Europa League champions versus the Champions League winners. That's a marquee game. That's kind of the unofficial kickoff of the new season when the two champions play. If you look at the winners and you look at who's been involved in the tournament the last couple seasons, you've had Dortmund, you've had Inter Milan, you've had Arsenal, you've had you've had AC Milan. These are big name clubs, guys.
Don't you forget to mention 2 years ago winner Manchester United. But should the big clubs like the Inter Milans, the AC Milans? I know they're not even in this tournament this year. The AC Milans, the Napolis.
No, AC Milan made it.
Want to win this?
They're in it. AC Milan's in it. They got. They UEFA kicked them out, but they let them back in.
Oh yeah, I forgot they had that whole
Chinese
big scandal thing.
They had some shady ass owners, man, for a hot minute. It was pretty crazy. But I think they should, guys. I think Atletico Madrid is proud of winning that tournament. I really do. I think Diego Simeone looks at that and says, "Hey, that's another trophy for the glass case." I mean.
Are we being too hard on this?
I think we're being harsh.
Are we being way too harsh? Because Kev and I have always like put that second tier. I put know. that like
We're being
below
dicks.
Everything
we're being,
else.
We're being real dicks.
Well, it is. It is second tier now because until you get to, I would say, the round of 16 and maybe even the quarterfinals, you're in such shallow water, and that shallow water is so sometimes unwatchable because you're playing, you know, Victoria Pilsen or, you know, Sparta Prague. But once you start getting down to the nitty gritty, when you have, you know, AC Milan versus Arsenal, which was, I think that was the round of 16 last year, the round of 32, that's a good matchup, man. That's primetime television right there. That's
10 years ago it would have been.
All right, stop it.
No. It still is just because of the name recognition. So it's nowhere close to the Champions League, guys, but it's European nights. It gives your fans a chance to travel. It's primetime television.
It's still football. Like, absolutely. It's on. I will watch it.
I watched Marseille play Atletico Madrid in the final last year. I watched it. I thought it was a very
good. It was there. Yeah. Fuck yeah, it was. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they should take it seriously. But enough about the Europa League. We don't even know the draw yet. We'll get to that another day. We'll go to Group C now. And this, guys, this is a shitstorm of a group right here.
Bee's knees.
This is the bee's knees.
I mean, goes without saying, group of death.
Yes, it is.
Contentious.
100%. 100% group of death. Yes, guys, we have your favorite club, Liverpool FC. We have SSS Napoli. We have Paris Saint Germain, and we have and this is funny. I love these guys talking about old school. Multiple time European champions, Red Star Belgrade, back in the hizzy in Group C. Finally, this is a what you would call an old time European power from back in the Stalin days, my friend. Well, not Stalin, but we'll call it
the Gorbachev.
Gorbachev, yes, Gorbachev and Yeltsin. My boy Yeltsin, he's in the house.
I know my USSR history.
Yeah, he brought the wall down. Great guy. Yeah.
Damn right, man. Reagan and Gorbachev for the win, man.
Also, they have the best fans ever.
Yeah, of course. Are they the one with all the, you know,
flares and everything? Yeah. They're awesome people. I think this is the most interesting group. Like, Ken and I disagree.
It's going to be the most fun group.
Mm-hmm. Guys, we have Carlo Ancelotti versus Jurgen Klopp twice. How about it?
I mean, just, I got to check my pants. I mean, Jesus H. I mean, this is just, it's just all fireworks, isn't it? It's just, this is going to be nothing but attacking football all around, from PSG to Napoli to Liverpool. I mean, if we're going to do who's going to make it out of this, I mean, it's really a crapshoot. I mean, you could make PSG the ultimate winners of this. I mean, that'd be the easy bet, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, PSG's record, I mean, they're great at coming out of the group of 16, unlike Arsenal, but it's, I mean, between Napoli and Liverpool, I think it's kind of a crapshoot. Am I wrong? Am I crazy? Am I taking crazy pills?
Well, they've got Insigne, obviously, Hamsik, Milik. They've got Allen, who is a fantastic midfielder. They're a very dangerous side, but Liverpool, in my opinion, has them beat on squad depth. I think that, and of course, Liverpool is well acquainted. Jurgen Klopp's been there now for 3 years, whereas Ancelotti's coming in his first year. I think that's probably the biggest advantage Liverpool has going into this, is the fact that they're well acquainted with their manager and his system.
I think this is going to come down to those asterisks, those caveats of these teams, because Liverpool basically has to decide at the beginning of the Champions League right now what their target is. Or is it the Premier League title? And if they choose to go for the Champions League title, I think that they can beat Napoli any day of the week. PSG, that's another question, but I think PSG is a shoo-in. But I think it's going to come down to what Jurgen Klopp and the board's focus is.
And the players. I think it's going to come down to a sit-down. Like, lads, are we going for the Prem? We haven't won it in, you know, a few decades.
Since the 80s.
All right. I was being generous a few decades.
Okay, well, he would say, to be super politically correct, he would say, lads, we've never won the quote-unquote Premier League, but go ahead.
True. Okay, that's fair. That's fair, since its installation in 92.
That's right.
Oh, thank you. I mean, if Liverpool win the Prem, I mean, it would be riots.
What counts more? What counts more? I think for them,
I think it would mean more to win the Prem.
For Reds fans, it's the Premier League. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I think for them. So,
if you were in Jurgen Klopp's shoes, what would you target in here? Because they got oh so close, but no cigar last year in the Champions League. They came in third in the Premier League last year. Obviously, Kev and I both have Liverpool coming first or second this year in the Premier League. What would you target as Liverpool? Because I think that's what it basically boils down to, what their target is. Because if it is the Champions League, I think they can beat Napoli.
Jurgen Klopp was hired for the sole purpose to end Liverpool's English Championship drought, plain and simple.
Trophy doubt. They haven't won a trophy since 2013 when they won the
League Cup. Yeah.
So, I mean, he hasn't even won a trophy yet. So, he has to decide between
a lot of finals, though. People forget. He's been to a lot of finals.
Not Sergio Ramos. He remembers.
Well, Sergio Ramos is a cunt. So,
he is.
I will put that out there. I think even Real Madrid fans would admit he's kind of a cunt. But.
Guys, I think for me it comes down to the fact that Liverpool have enough talent to beat Napoli at Anfield and to get a draw at the Sao Paulo, and I think that's where I think they can come in second just because they are naturally good enough and have the chemistry and just sort of the experience in this tournament to advance. I don't think that they will go. I have your Liverpool in the quarterfinals this year because I think that's where they decide we're in first or second, and if we're in striking distance of Man City or ahead of Man City and they're in striking distance, come February or March, that's where you have to decide what are we going for. Are we going for the league title? And I think at that time they absolutely will say we're going for the league. We have to win the Premier League. We've never won it. We haven't been English champions since 1990. And we want to break that 18-18 deadlock with Manchester United to become the true kings of England once again. I think that's where their mindset is. I think that they finish second in this group just because they are that well acquainted with this competition.
I'd have to agree. I mean, I have PSG 1, Liverpool 2nd, and I mean, again, I think it might be close. I think Napoli will be a close 3rd.
Do you think there's any chance, and this is a question to both of you guys.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
Is there any chance that PSG slips up here?
Both
of y'all went silent for a bit.
I mean, it's PSG. I mean, how well have they done in the Champions League in the past forever? So.
Not great.
In the group stage,
they don't go through.
In the group stage, they're pretty lethal. That I will say. It's when you get to the round of 16 and beyond,
they do so well in the group stage. They always trick me, and I'm like, all right, this is their year. Especially when they were up against Barcelona. We don't have to bring up that game. But like when they just destroyed Barcelona, I was like, oh yeah, PSG, it's their year. And then they, you know, PSG'd themselves.
But with this competition, Napoli and Liverpool, I'm not even gonna mention the third.
And they have to go to Liverpool at Anfield.
Exactly. So is there any chance PSG doesn't go through? Because I could see like a very, very slim chance, like a 20% chance that PSG does not advance.
Or at least get third place, you mean?
Yeah.
In football, there's always a possibility. I mean, we saw Senegal beat France in 2002 coming off of the World Cup title. Anything can happen. You guys are absolutely right. And that's
a FA Cup. People forget about Wigan.
Up the ticks.
Absolutely. I just think that PSG have more than Napoli, and I think that they could potentially take 4 of the 6 points that they need from Napoli, and I think they'll beat Liverpool at the Parc des Princes and probably either get a draw or lose narrowly at Anfield. That'll be enough. I think there's a chance, guys, that PSG don't win the group, but I think they're safely in second.
It's gonna be a fun group. So PSG definitely goes through. We can all agree. Okay, cool.
So to recap, Group C, we have PSG and Liverpool basically are 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can both say that, right, Martin?
Yeah, because I mean, I think the decision is going to come later in that year when Liverpool decides to put all their focus on the Prem instead of the Champions.
It's going
to
be like Zoolander.
Yeah.
Who am I? Merman. Merman, Dad.
I got the black lung, Pop.
I got the black lung, Pop.
The black right. lung. That's awesome. Yeah, quick Zoolander reference there. Thanks, Ben Stiller. Group D. This is one of the two easiest groups that you have. If you're in this group, you're very happy. And if you're an FC Schalke fan, shout out to the FC Schalke podcast, Jack and Richard. You're happy because you got Lokomotiv Moscow. No disrespect to the Russian champs, but it is the Russian Premier League. And you've got
being very generous. Yeah,
being very generous. FC.
It's like saying the Canadian Football League compared to the NFL, yeah. Basically.
Correct. Yeah. The CFL. The CFL. Galatasaray and FC Porto. Porto, obviously, veterans of this competition. They knocked out Manchester United last season.
No, they did not. That was Sevilla.
Sorry, Sevilla. My fault. Porto was playing Liverpool. That's right. Sorry. Wrong English club.
To a lesser Spanish club, not a Portuguese club.
Yeah, that was, thank you. Yeah, sorry. That I should have known it was the Spaniards that knocked out the Manx. I'm sorry about that. That was my fault. And I should remember that because that's Liverpool put that 5-0 blistering on Porto. So I should have remembered that. That's man, I can't believe I think I just got my Iberian Peninsula clubs.
We accept your apology.
Thank you. Okay. It's all the Iberian Peninsula, guys. It's all the same.
That's true.
It's all confusing over there, isn't it?
It's geography, man.
It's all like it's all squashed together. So
guys, I'm anxious to hear this to me is one of the most unpredictable groups out of all eight. This is a real doozy here to try and figure out who's going to go through.
I feel like I'm going to be that grandmother who wins the March Madness by picking mascots. I'm going to go with Schalke first. All right. And then I guess Porto second. I don't know. Like, this is just a weird, this is like the most UEFA, what the fuck? Like, that's my biggest takeaway. It's like UEFA, like, I know you're rigged. Like, could you have rigged a better group? Like, this is just my biggest takeaway. I guess I'm going to do Schalke one, Porto second, Galatasaray because Aaron Ramsey scored a great goal against you third, and that Russian club I can't pronounce fourth.
Wow, you got the Russian champs who are in pot A finishing dead last.
Their name is basically Train Moscow.
Yeah, I
gotta agree with Kev here. I have them finishing dead last too. The only thing I would switch around is I would put FC Porto first.
Yes.
Oh.
Then I would put Schalke, just because I think that collectively as a team, they are more, I don't know if this is the right word, I'm not an English major, but they are more concise and cohesive than Galatasaray. Galatasaray basically takes, and we've seen this for the past like 3 years, Galatasaray takes older talent from all over the world and brings them together, and they win the Turkish league all the time.
Oh, like the MLS.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I see where this is going.
So,
all right, cool.
I'm putting FC Porto first, followed by the young guns of Schalke, and then Galatasaray goes to the Europa League, and the train to Moscow goes back on the train.
The train to Moscow. I love it. I agree with the pick with Porto 1. I like Schalke 2nd. I will say Lokomotiv will finish 3rd, and I have Galatasaray going back to Turkey empty-handed. I think Moscow will do enough to get to
really?
The Europe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Turkey is in disarray as a country itself. So
yes, Erdogan sends his regards.
Let's stick to sports, Pretty. Stick to sports.
Stick to sports.
I'm going to – all right, yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I just, when I studied abroad, I saw Real Madrid play Schalke. I didn't see them. I just saw a bunch of German fans over there in Madrid when I was over in Madrid. And I was like, oh, wow, these guys party. These guys fuck. So I'm going to go Schalke 1.
Big Schalke fan?
Big Schalke fan, yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, the Schalke guys, the podcast, Richard and Jack, will be glad to hear that we unanimously have Schalke advancing to the round of 16.
Let's go.
Their first round of 16 appearance since 2014-15. All right, guys. Porto, obviously, veterans of the round of 16, so no surprise there. I think that actually we got through that group a lot quicker and a lot easier than I thought we were, because that one, even though we picked it, I'm still kind of like, Galatasaray could end up winning this damn group.
I mean,
it definitely could,
I mean,
though.
It's literally could be Russian roulette. Yeah. It could literally just be any man's game.
Russian roulette because there's a Russian team.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, all right. It's any man's game. It's the purge.
It is in fact that is true in Group D. Group E should be pretty self-explanatory, as Bayern Munich once again gets the luckiest of luck draws, getting the.
What are you talking about? They're getting fourth place, right?
Yeah, Bayern Munich is going to go directly back home in fourth place. No, that is not going to happen. So Bayern, being in pot one, they are the beneficiaries of a massively easy group, I think. And I'm not, no disrespect to Benfica, because you will finish second, gentlemen, Benfica. You will, in fact, advance yet again to the round of 16, as you have so many times before. Ajax Amsterdam making their first appearance in the Champions League in a few seasons, and they're joined by AEK Athens. So, guys, I think this is the easiest one to pick out of all of them. Ajax had to play in. They were able to hold on this week to get into this tournament. They were in the Europa League final against, you were talking about Jose Mourinho's greatest triumph in his career, the Europa League final with Manchester United just a few minutes ago. And they played Ajax Amsterdam in that final with Peter Bosz, the former coach of Dortmund, who was the coach of Amsterdam at the time. That's their last really big European hurrah. So this is a return to glory for them, but I think it will be short-lived. And as far as Athens goes, I think they're here for the ride. They're going to give their fans six amazing European nights, and that's going to be it for them. I see Ajax third, Athens fourth, Benfica second, and Bayern a unanimous number one. I see them. They could take all 18 points in this group.
Yeah, I am totally with you with Bayern there. But I'm actually going to disagree with you here on the Ajax versus Benfica here.
Okay.
I think Ajax, they have so many young players who are full of promise. Like, we always hear that United, that Liverpool, that Chelsea, that Real Madrid, that Barcelona, the AC Milan, Juventus, every top team in every single league other than the Dutch league is looking for that Ajax talent. I think there's been like 15 players signed from Ajax in the past 3 years that have gone to the top four clubs in each league. So I'm actually putting Ajax above Benfica for the sole reason because I'm comparing them to the Jags. They have been bad for so long, but they finally have this group of young players who are hungry for a title, or hungry for that pride.
Like, so, the Eagles. Like hungry dogs.
The Eagles are the hungry dogs, but the Eagles are more like the AC Milan, the Inter Milan, Ajax, however you want to say it, the correct pronunciation, are the Jaguars, where they haven't been good since the 90s. But now they have such a great youth talent brought up, and they are hungry for this. Yeah, they just got in through the playoffs. But they're facing Benfica. Is Benfica really, really that hard of a task to win? Because we saw them last year in the Champions League. To be honest, they did not impress me that much at all. I think Ajax could absolutely surprise everyone and get that second place. Obviously, Bayern is going to get that first place.
Well, they have...
Oh, go ahead.
They have Daily Blind. They have, formerly of Manchester United, they have De Ligt. They have Kasper Dolberg. They have Klaas-Jan Huntelaar, formerly of Schalke. They have They have some good players, and I'm not saying that Ajax is a bad team by any means. But if you look at the sum of the parts, Benfica has has been here and done that, and I'm going based on experience. Benfica knows how to get past these group stages. They know how to advance to the round of 16. Typically, and I would say this, typically Ajax has far more turnover than your average European team in this competition, or your average team in this competition. They're all European. I don't know why I just said that. But this year they held on to some of their core pieces. So in saying that, I think that you guys have a very good point. I think I'm just kind of jaded by Ajax because they don't make it every year. The Dutch league is like 12th in the UEFA coefficient. They don't get a direct qualification into this tournament. If you're in the Dutch league, you have to go to the playoff to get in. But having said that, they did make it here by really earning it. They had to go through, I think, three qualification rounds to get to this point. So you guys could be right. They may have more to offer than meets the eye. I think that this, like, I look at the squad and it is talented. It's just they haven't proven themselves on the big stage yet.
Critty, my biggest takeaway from this group is, you know, not who's going to be coming in second. My biggest takeaway is looking at Bayern. If they only win, but they don't win convincingly, then I'm worried about Bayern going forward. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to pick Benfica second. But my biggest takeaway from this group is if Bayern doesn't impress me through this group, they're going to do what Bayern's been doing since 2013. You know what I mean? They're going to look great in the group stage. They look great against Arsenal. Everyone does. And, like, I really want to see Bayern Munich just steamroll these other teams so I can feel confident about them. Like, when I'm picking who's going to win this goddamn competition, mm-hmm. I'm picking Juventus, Barcelona, Bayern. But if they don't look confident going through this, and I probably put Barcelona or Juventus one or two. If they don't look confident going through this, that's my biggest takeaway. They need to look really good against shit competition. So I have Bayern 1, Benfica 2, Ajax 3, and then that Greek Athens team 2, right? Yeah.
AEK.
Yeah, whatever AEK, they are. Yeah, sure.
All right, well, so we wrapped up Group E. That's we're pretty much unanimous here that Benfica's 2 and Bayern is 1, and those two will advance. I think we all think Ajax might keep it a lot closer than, well, I initially said. I kind of got ahead of myself there, like I said. Ajax to the Europa League, though, it's a competition that, I mean, if you go down and you look at their roster, if they don't have any major losses or departures during the winter transfer window, could be a competition that they could possibly win. So,
I mean, they went up against United, 2 years ago, right, Mark?
Yeah, 2 years ago, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't count them out. I mean, United was going up against a team of, like, 21-year-olds. So, I mean, it really depends, so.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Group F, guys. Another tough one. This is another doozy. We have Manchester City, who obviously was built. They were built to win the Champions League. They brought in Pep to win the Champions League, and last year, of course, took one on the chin from Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, both in the league in the second half of the season, and then twice in the Champions League. It was not close, guys. It was a shellacking. They have a lot to make up for from last season and the way that they left this competition. In addition to them, we have Shakhtar Donetsk from Ukraine. They are habitual participants in this competition, along with Olympique Lyon, and making their debut appearance in the Champions League. And it will be a very short-lived debut appearance. Well, six games. It'll be six games. TSG 1899 Hoffenheim and Julian Nagelsmann, who has already signed a contract to be a coach elsewhere next season. So that being RB Leipzig.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If you win the Red Bulls, yes.
The Red Bulls. So, guys, this one's an interesting one.
I genuinely think that while Liverpool has the decision to make whether they focus their talents on or focus their everything and talents on the Champions League or the Premier League, City has the luxury of playing their normal games. Because, yeah, Olympic Lyon is a fantastic team. They have got Fekir. They've got Memphis Depay. But at the end of the day, none of these teams really threaten City at all. I think that Olympique Lyon is the best team out of the other three teams. I could see Hoffenheim solely because their manager is a pretty brilliant and pretty young manager, getting that third place and dropping down to Europa League. But this just speaks oil money to me, a.k.a. Manchester UEFA, Manchester City UEFA, UEFA Manchester City, however you want to say it. Because how did City get the easiest draw of all these fucking competitions while Liverpool and Manchester United and Tottenham get just absolutely fucked? Well, Liverpool got fucked on the last day.
Well, no, I mean, like, Man City earned this. If they came first in the
Premier
League.
I know, Kevin,
like,
let me bitch.
All right. Sorry, Pretty. Let me break this down. Man City is going to win this by a mile. Lyon, I love their young talent, like Martin was saying. Hoffenheim is going to be third. They're going to drop down to Europa. And Shakhtar, they're just there. Shakhtar is just literally the team where they just appear. It's like that guy at the party who you're just like, he's just going to be there. No one talks. But you know he's going to be at every single party.
He's that guy who introduced you to Uzi Vert.
Exactly. He's like he's the guy who's going to introduce me to some shitty rap. And, you know, that's fine. It's nice to see him there. You won't talk to him and say, hey, sup, man. And that's it. That's who Shakhtar is. So I'm going Man City 1 by a mile. I think Lyon and Hoffenheim are going to battle out for second and third. But I think Lyon's going to win it. They have a nice young attacking squad. Hoffenheim are going to come in third and go into the Europa League.
Yeah, Olympic, they're front line, man. Nabil Fekir, Memphis Depay, and Bertrand Traoré. They've got some talent there. They are obviously always usually to be found in the top three or four of the Ligue 1. So they are formidable opponents. I'm wondering though, I'm curious as to how you guys. I have Hoffenheim finishing dead last by a mile in this group.
Really?
Yes. Nagelsmann is a brilliant young coach, but he has been literally pillaged of talent the last two seasons. You're talking about losing Sebastian Rudi, Niklas Süle, Marc Uth. There were rumors he almost lost Kevin Vogt, one of his better defenders. This is a team, Sandro Wagner, who was one of their primary goal scorers. He's now backing up Lewandowski at Bayern. Hoffenheim has lost so much talent in the transfer window over the last two seasons, and you know, quite frankly, no disrespect to those players coming in, but they didn't get a lot back. Serge Gnabry, who helped them last year, he was on loan from Bayern. He returned back to Bayern. Now he's playing for the Bavarians. They've lost a lot of centerpieces and a lot of good players, and yeah, they still have some talent, and I think that they are going to compete for the top seven in the Bundesliga, but they have a decision to make, truly a decision to make, because I don't think they have the squad depth to compete in the Champions League and in the Bundesliga. Are you going to let yourselves drop to 14th or 15th place in the league for the sake of what? Maybe if you're lucky, a third place finish in this group. If it's like the best case scenario and the gods shine down upon you, you make the round of 16. But let's be honest, at that point, it is over. It is beyond over, because that's when you start getting to the really elite of the elite. I just have a hard time seeing it.
Well, I think the best English Premier League analogy right here is Southampton to Liverpool, because like you said, the exodus from Hoffenheim in the past 2 years to Bayern Munich and to bigger clubs in Germany and abroad has been absolutely unreal. But at the end of the day, I would take Southampton over a club like Blackburn, because yeah, Shakhtar Donetsk is a fantastic club in Ukraine, but
Doesn't say a lot, does it?
Exactly. Hoffenheim came in, what was it, third or fourth last year?
Third, yeah. By goal differential.
So they beat out Dortmund. And that says a lot to their mentality. And I know I keep fucking harping on this shit, but I think mentality is what's going to win a lot of these games. Hoffenheim wants to impress upon the world that they are a club that players don't have to leave. Their young coach wants to impress upon the club that he's going to, Red Bull Leipzig, that he's not just another run-of-the-mill coach. So I think they're going to go into this league hard as hell. Granted, they probably won't crack the top three, crack the top four of the Bundesliga this year, But I think this is where they can showcase their talent and show what they can do, and that's why I'm putting them above Shakhtar Donetsk. But I still think Lyon takes the second place cake.
Okay. Yeah. They're going to need players like Andriy Kramaric, who obviously played in. He's one of the mm-hmm. members of the Croatian team that made the World Cup final. They're going to need him to be a big part of this. They're also going to need players like Karim Dermabai, Adam Salai, Oliver Baumann in goal. He's a solid goalkeeper, not world class by any means. But they're going to need to overachieve and overperform to even get to third place, which you guys are saying.
I mean, Shakhtar just sounds like something when I think something's a fart and it's not. So I think for me, I have Shakhtar fourth, and Hoffenheim's just a sick name. Am I doing the whole March Madness? Like, I'm just picking.
That's fine.
But we can all agree Man City is going to run away with this, and Lyon's going to come in second, right? Can we?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. The only thing we disagree on. I have Shakhtar finishing third and going to the Europa League. Hoffenheim fourth. But all of us unanimously agree Manchester City wins it by a mile. Lyon finishes second to get to the February group of 16. Round of 16, and that's a wrap on Group F. We definitely kind of buried Hoffenheim there. Sorry about that, guys. But the lads stuck up for you. They believe in you.
We're here for you, lads. Hey, you all right?
That's right. Hey, so now we got two groups left. Group G. This one is the surprise team from last season, the comeback kids, if you will. Roma, who of course had that unbelievable comeback against Barcelona in the quarterfinals, and they had a minute there where they put Liverpool on their heels. They lost 7-6 on aggregate, but they won 4-2 over Jurgen Klopp's Reds at the Stadio Olimpico. But guys, they're missing some big players from 2 years ago. This one guy named Mohamed Salah, and last season the key to why I think that they finished top three in the Serie A, one guy by the name of Alisson. So they are in a slightly less position than they were a year before. The weakness was their back line. Alisson covered up for a lot of their weaknesses as it pertained to that back line. Now they've lost the quality of a grade A keeper, so they are even more susceptible to really elite goals against elite teams, and they have elite teams in this group because the three-time defending champions just so happened to have been drawn in the group with them, that being Real Madrid. Rounding out the group is CSKA Moscow and Victoria Pilsen, and wow, that's probably the worst team based on strength of
Where are they from? Do you know?
The Czech Republic. They're from the Czech Republic. Republic. Yeah.
Well, Pilsners. Well, Pilsen. Pilsners. Yeah. They're known for their Pilsners. But that's about it. Grady, I understand your complaints about, not complaints, but like worries about Roma based on the lack of a man named Alisson Becker with a.
They also lost Raja Nainggolan, which like we can't forget about
and
that.
Salah,
and how important he was.
But like Ngazi, like that's a nice. I mean, it's not Nainggolan, right? Am I crazy to say that? Like, he's not Nainggolan, but he's a nice piece in your midfield, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is a slam dunk. I think Real Madrid first, and then Roma's. I mean, obviously Real Madrid is going to take a step back when you lose, a player who's in the GOAT conversation like Ronaldo. I think Bale's going to step up. He's already stepped up this season. The youngsters of Real Madrid, I mean, it goes without saying, what's it called?
They just signed another new number 7, which is risky.
Yeah. I just think Real Madrid...
They did lose. Oh, they lost Strootman. They just lost Strootman as well.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Kevin Strootman's been old for like 2 years now.
I mean,
and always injured.
That's true, but... I mentioned Nainggolan with Inter a little while ago, and I didn't factor him into their departures, but that's a big fucking loss. You guys are right. Yeah.
That's a major loss. But, I think Real Madrid has this in the I think Roma's slightly behind them. I mean, when I say in the bag, I mean, I definitely think they get first in this group, and I think Roma comes right behind them. But the other two are just going to just get steamrolled. I don't think it's close.
I'm going to concur with everything you said there. I think I agree with you. Real Madrid, by far and above group winners, and I think Roma has enough quality to beat Pilsen and Moscow. Pilsen, like I said, based on the quality of their roster, probably the weakest team in this entire competition. I have them finishing dead last, and I have Moscow finishing third.
Yeah, I probably agree. I mean, I think I've heard CSK Moscow enough to think that they could come in third. And this Pilsner team, I mean, I'm a big Pilsner fan, but I...
You like the beer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think I like this club enough to give them the benefit of the doubt to get into Europa League. So, yeah, I'm going to go with your exact top three for this group.
Did you guys know this is that the logo for the Russian Premier League is a big fucking head of a bear?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Did you see the video? Like, it came out, I think, in, like, April or March of this
year. Right before the World Cup.
Yeah, right before the World Cup of a real live, fully grown bear delivering the ball to the referee.
The match ball? Yeah.
I did not see that.
Oh, my God. Pretty. I'm going to send that to you. It is unreal.
PETA lost their mind. Yeah. But honestly, I was like, this is sick.
It was my favorite part of the season.
They had a bear in the middle of the pitch, like, picking up the match ball and, like, getting ready for kickoff. It was, oh, my God. I was like, this is the most Russian thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, like you said, CSK Moscow, they are veterans of this competition. But you know, like you said, they unfortunately got drawn into a group with a very capable Italian side. Even though they don't have the keeper anymore, they lost the winger 2 years ago. They lost their midfield enforcer. They lost the old gimpy man in Strootman. They still have enough to get past them. That being CSKA Moscow and Real Madrid speaks for itself. So
and they lost their Capitan Totti. People forget.
Now you're going way back in the well. But yes, you're
right.
It was
only like 2 years ago. You retired. Am I crazy?
Critty, I want to ask you a question right now.
Yes.
And this is a very real question. So I've watched Totti's retirement speech, his last game, like 4 or 5 times at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I cry every time. Please tell me you do too, because nobody else has told me yes.
Oh, for Totti?
Yes,
I wouldn't say I cried. I got a little emotional because I'm you saying goodbye to one of the all-time greats of our generation, potentially any generation, and certainly one of the best players to ever put on the blue shirt for the Azzurri. So yeah, when I see stuff like that, it's like when Dejan Stankovic played his last game for Inter.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes. Oh, wow. You're really bringing back, you know.
Yeah, these guys are. They're at the end of their career as a professional. They're still better than 98% of everyone else that plays the game in the world. But it's just,
and
you know.
MLS, yeah.
Yeah, and MLS. I mean, if Stankovic wanted to play MLS right now, he absolutely could. But the thing is, like, yeah, I don't cry, but my face gets very serious.
My girlfriend asked me what was wrong with me when I was watching it, like, for the third time. Like, I was just watching it on my my phone, and I was just watching his speech, and he was, like, holding his daughter, and I was, like, bawling on the couch. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was just like,
It's more than a game.
EA Sports.
It's in the game.
Yeah, that's FIFA 19, guys, coming out next month. Got to get excited about that.
Are you a PES or FIFA guy?
I'm a FIFA guy, but they need to start. I understand that they haven't changed a fucking thing to career mode, and that has got. If they haven't changed anything to career mode except getting the UEFA Champions League and Europa League licenses, I'm going to be very pissed because they haven't done shit with that mode since FIFA 13. And they are basically robbing us blind, EA Sports is.
Go to PES,
we've been PES guys for 2 years now. And like,
three, I think three.
Yeah. And the quality of, like, gameplay is, like, it's like, you ever get, like, the FIFA bullshit? Like, you say that out loud. Like, I don't get that with PES. I'm like, that was my fault. Like, if I fuck up, I'm like, man, that was me.
Nah, that's true. I have experienced that quite often where I feel like I'm getting gypped by the computer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Very much. I'll have to. If PES has a demo, I'll definitely, you know, check it out.
They do. Yeah, and Coutinho's on the cover, so I think so.
Well, fuck that guy. Fuck him.
Well, I mean, like, yes, gritty, yes. Gritty, whatever, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm just stating facts. All right, let's move on to group H. Yeah, right? Let's move on to group H.
Yeah, a little turncoat. All right. Anyways, so group H, wrapping up the Champions League, we have. All right, so this is the team, guys. This is the team that everyone thinks is just going to be shooting to win because they have CR7. You know, it's like it's all about the Champions League. You know, they don't care about Serie A anymore. They've won it 7 years in a row. They don't give a damn about Italian calcio. All they care about is the Champions League. Guys, Juventus Turin with Cristiano Ronaldo spearheading the attack. They're in Group H. And wouldn't you know that his old club, Manchester United, just so happens to be drawn in the same group. That is going to be 90 minutes one way and 90 minutes the other way of fantastic, dramatic football. Because I didn't say it's going to be good football. It's going to be dramatic football. Because
magical football.
Magical.
Yeah, it's going to be that old school, like, returning to your own club, like, saying sorry to your fans after you score on them, like Cristiano has already done. But Kevin and I already talked about this shit, and I have Juventus actually winning this whole thing. Kevin has Barcelona, but I genuinely think Cristiano Ronaldo changes from Clark Kent to Superman when it comes to that Champions League. So in the group, in this group stage, I think Juventus wins this shit, no problem, at Old Trafford and in Turin, and obviously they beat both the other teams. With Valencia and Young Boys. But I think the question and the uncertainty surrounds Manchester United instead of Juventus. And this fucking pains me to admit, but can Manchester United beat Valencia? Can Manchester United finish above Valencia? Or no. Because if they cannot, if they lose both group stage games to Valencia and they're out. Jose Mourinho's obviously out.
Guys, I want to put something into perspective for you gentlemen just here real quick about recent Manchester United history as it pertains to European competitions. A couple years ago, Manchester United lost the group stage to Wolfsburg from the Bundesliga.
I remember that. I was depressed for like 2 months.
They also lost a game to Midtjylland from Denmark. You
also remember that?
Yes.
For 2 months.
Are you making fun of Martin's mental health? Because that's really not PC of you, Gritty.
Guys, you guys are talking about whether they can finish up, whether they can beat Valencia. My question to you is, can they beat Young Boys?
Oh! I feel like I'm like
okay. All right.
Hold me back. Okay, let me go first. You've talked enough. I went and took a piss while
I'm about to.
Okay. Gritty. I definitely agree with you that Man United is not the Man United of before. But you'd have to think. This is like, you know, this is Young Boys' first Champions League. Am I not wrong?
It's been a long time. I don't think it's their first, but it is their first in many years.
Okay.
I'll look that up, though, while you're talking. Go ahead.
All right. I would have to think, in my mind's eye, my heart of hearts, that I just think Man United would have to get at least through Young Boys, not Man Boys. I'm not talking about Always Sunny. I'm not talking about Always Sunny, you know. But I would have to think they get through Young Boys, and I think Valencia is the toss-up, and I want to say, I mean, as much as it kills me, I would have to say Man United gets through Valencia, but I was wrong last year of Sevilla, so I definitely think it's a toss-up between Valencia and Man United. But if I were to go, like, you know, just for the podcast, like, give a definite pick, I would do Juventus first, who I think just steamrolls through the competition. I mean, Ronaldo has been slow in Serie A, but I think he was slow last year, am I wrong, in La Liga, and he just turned it up for the Champions League. I mean, the guy just wants to, like, be the Champions League all-time goal scorer. Is he already?
I think he already is, yeah.
All right, so yeah, he wants to make sure that record is just solidified, like that no one can touch it, because I think Messi's creeping. So I think he's just saving all his energy for the Champions League. I think it's going to be Juventus, Man United, and then Valencia by a hair. Another tight window in this table. Martin, do you want to take this from here?
Valencia by a hair in third place?
In third place, yes.
You guys have got a lot of faith in United.
I have to.
Jose Mourinho, he's your Inter guy. He's the guy who's won so much and everywhere he's
guys, been. I was going to ask you this. I was going to ask you this question before we got off of it. You're talking about Jose Mourinho. So let's before we get any further ahead of ourselves, guys. By the time this group hits its business end of things, so match days 3, 4, and beyond, is Jose Mourinho even going to be the manager of Manchester United?
You know what's crazy?
What?
We are 3 games into the season.
Yes.
3 games into the season, and already Jose Mourinho is being critiqued. Already Jose Mourinho is said to be fired. And it's absolutely insane to me to think that Jose Mourinho can be fired after 3 games into the season. While, and I'm sorry, Kev, I'm going to insult your team here.
So,
while Unai Emery has the exact same amount of points right now, and he's not even talked about being fired.
Well, it's his first season.
It's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But Jose Mourinho's Manchester United finished second in the Premier League last year. If Manchester City didn't have that record-breaking run last year, they would have won. Jose Mourinho won the FA Cup. Jose Mourinho won the Europa League. So I think it is absolutely ridiculous to question whether Jose Mourinho is going to be the manager at the time that Champions League rolls around. If Jose Mourinho is going to be the Champions League manager, so to speak, he's going to win. It might be ugly. It probably definitely will be ugly, and it will be soccer that I don't want to watch, but he's still going to win. However, if by some chance that Jose Mourinho is fired before the start of this next year and Zinedine Zidane takes his place, y'all better watch the fuck out, because Zizou knows what he is doing and he can wreck anybody. So I think it's going to.
And that's why I'm asking the question, not out of disrespect to Jose Mourinho, but more so, is Manchester United and the Glazers, have they seen enough? Is the train going back, or excuse me, is the bus, no pun intended, going backwards at this point? And is there a guy that's waiting in the wings that you know will be an instant spark plug to the club that you could hire? That's my question, because let me ask you this scenario. If you're sitting there in the Premier League on match day 9 or match day 10, and United is in 7th place, which they very well could be, there's a lot of good teams in the Premier League this season, and they are, say, 3rd in the group stage after 3 or 4 match days in the Champions League, that's not going in the right direction. And that's having given Jose 3 or 4 months to sort of right the ship. So in that scenario, do you have to pull the trigger at that point to save what's left of your season to try and get a top four? Because Manchester United depends on that top four and that Champions League. In addition to, do we want to save ourselves and try and get to this round of 16 by finishing second in this group? If Zizou's available, which I think he will be, I don't think anyone's going to hire him before then. If you don't see a dramatic improvement from Jose Mourinho, and let's make no mistake about it, you know, if they're not in the top 3 or 4 by match day 10, that's a step in the wrong direction, because last season they basically were bookend number 2.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I've got 2 arguments. And one argument is I do not want Manchester United to be that club, to be that team that fires a manager every single year that he disappoints you. Because there were years that Sir Alex Ferguson finished 3rd, 4th, 2nd, and United's board never took steps to fire him. I do not want to become that Chelsea team who fires their manager every 2 years to win the Premier League. That's my first argument against firing Jose Mourinho. Mm-hmm. My second one is for the firing of Jose Mourinho. If it is mathematically impossible to get to the top 4, to challenge to the title, to advance in the group stage, that and that only is the point when you fire Jose Mourinho. when it is mathematically impossible. You don't fire him because he plays boring-ass soccer. Everybody knows he plays boring-ass soccer. He did that shit at Chelsea. He did that shit at Real Madrid. He actually played fun soccer at Inter Milan, but that's another story. And he's doing it again right now at Manchester United. But the second it becomes mathematically impossible for him to make a positive change at Manchester United and in their standings, both in that Champions League conversation and the domestic league competition, that's when you fire him. You don't fire him because you want the prettier girl. You want that hot-ass girl. You fire him because your current girlfriend isn't putting out. You fire him because you hate her family. You fire him.
Jesus.
Look, it's a lot of personal shit coming out, Curdy. It's a lot of personal shit. But you fire him.
What Pandora's box did you just open?
Yeah, you fucked me up. Oh, man.
Well, I didn't mean to do all that now.
All right, Critty, reel this in. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I see the argument for, just to be honest with you, I 100% agree with you. Manchester United should not be like Chelsea that basically flips the coin and they you know, Conte wins the Premier League this year, he's okay. Next year he finishes in fifth, but he wins the FA Cup. That's not enough. So you're out. No, you need to have some continuity. You need to build consistency. My problem with Jose Mourinho is I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but when you have players who are rumored to not want to transfer to United because they don't want to play for him, when he's creating such a toxic environment and he's, you know, really, really going over the top with the theatrics and the antics and the press conferences and reminding everyone of how great he's been in the past, living off past glory is not making up for your mistakes today. You have to face the music. You have to understand you just got your ass whipped by Tottenham. Own up to it. Don't sit there and tell me you won 3 Premier League titles. I know you did. You also won a treble at Inter. But guess what, asshole? That was 8 fucking years ago. So
it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, please, no Nickelback. Please, no Nickelback.
Please, keep singing Nickelback.
Is Drake the Nickelback of rap?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
I will
that's my thought on Mourinho.
Media focus, all of the media's focus, every single pundit, every single sports station, whether it be domestic like ESPN, FS1, Sky Sports, BBC, is focused directly on Jose Mourinho and Manchester United. And I'm not saying that Jose Mourinho is faultless. God knows he's not. But the amount of scrutiny that he faces on a daily basis, can you not just see how that would add to someone's fucking anger from day-to-day basis? Because the man finished second. He won more trophies than anybody else post-Sir Alex Ferguson era. He's won more trophies than Liverpool and Manchester City since 2014 for Manchester United alone. So can you not see that Jose Mourinho is in some type of way righteously upset that he's being targeted?
Yeah, I see the argument there. I do. But he brings it on himself in all fairness. He says stuff like, hey, that's like if Ronda Rousey had a UFC fight today and got her ass beat again, and she's like, well, you know, I was the women's champion 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's like Allen Iverson saying I was the MVP in 2001. I mean,
don't bring up AI, please don't. Now that
gentleman was intentional. That's what you call intentional. Anyway.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's kind of like, you know, everything's on a fucking magnifying glass now. Everything is so hyper because of social media, because of us, because of people like us, because of the media.
Yeah.
We cause this and we like hyperventilate about Jose Mourinho. And we don't really take time to appreciate what he's done. And honestly, my biggest takeaway from this whole like Jose Mourinho breakdown in the press conference is like the guy misses Arsene Wenger. That was, you know, that was his shit talking go to. The guy was like, he's been waiting to drop this line to be like, oh yeah, I've won 3 Premier Leagues, more than all the 19 combined. He's like, ah, oh, thank God Arsene Wenger's gone, so I can drop this line.
Yep.
That's been my biggest takeaway. But no, I get where you're. No, I totally agree with you, Grady. The guy has brought on himself. He's caused these meltdowns. Obviously, the guy's not been a fan of the media, and the media is. I mean, it's like the Belichick syndrome. Like, you know, both sides are not fans of each other.
You said the Bella Twins syndrome? Is that what you said?
Oh, Belichick. Sorry.
Oh, Belichick. Oh, Bill Belichick. Sorry. Sorry. I thought you said the Bella Twins. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
The Bella Twins?
I don't even know what that is.
WWE, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought that's what you said. In all hey. All
right.
So
Manchester United advance through or not, Critty?
For me, they do advance, but to the Europa League.
Oh, damn! Me and Martin looked at each other like, "Damn, Critty, damn, like nice." And then we both looked at each other with like surprise. I mean, I think both of us have Man U going in second place.
Yeah, so that's majority rules. You guys have got me, and yeah. So,
all right. If Valencia advances, we both shotgun a Four Loko. How's that?
True. Damn right, I like it.
All right.
So basically. To wrap up the Group H officially, because we went on a 15-minute United rant. Holy shit!
I know. it's easy to do.
The problem about potting with me, because I will fight you to the fucking death about United.
I know. I'm like, every time we do our own podcast, I'm like, Martin, we got to move on. He's like, no, no.
So we have Juventus advancing as the group winners, Manchester United finishing in second, and I believe Valencia, gentlemen. By the way, the answer to Young Boys, 32 years it's been. 32 years since they've been in the European Cup. Yeah,
well,
32.
You know, as people who are, well, I'm 24, you're 25, they're, you know. I believe they've never been in it. So since I've been born, so nothing counts before I was born. So yeah.
Well, they definitely have never been in the Champions League. The last time they were in this competition, it was called the European Cup. So yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute.
It's been a few.
Yeah. Well, guys, quickly tell the good people where they can find you, and quickly about your show, The Lads Podcast.
Hi, we're Lads Podcast, or Loud Americans Discussing Soccer. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We have Instagram at Lads Podcast, Twitter at Lads _podcast, Facebook, Loud Americans Discussing Soccer. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/ladspodcast. Critty, thank you so much for having us. We can't appreciate you giving us the time to drink beer and be rowdy. So thank you so much.
Also, Critty. Just FYI, I'm actually moving back down to North Carolina tomorrow.
Oh!
If we are ever close to each other and we want to catch a match, let's absolutely catch a match, drink some beers, and meet in person.
It's done. Consider it done. Absolutely. That's fantastic, man. I'm looking forward to that. I guarantee you that this season, I'm thinking, if you're moving down tomorrow, dude, the season just kicked off. We got plenty of time to catch a match.
That's awesome. Yeah. Where are you in South Carolina?
I'm in Charleston.
Oh, yeah. Like 3 hours away from my hometown. So we got to make that meet.
Yeah. We'll make that happen. As they say, as Roseanne told Sean Hannity, DM me. DM me, bro.
DM me. Slip in those DMs, dog.
That's my
go-to.
That's right.
Just move.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for being on. This has been the Kings of Europe, and they have been Kevin and my boy Martin. They are the Loud Americans Discussing Soccer, and we'll catch you same place, same time next week. Take care, everyone.